Acts chapter 13, verses 22, it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And we've been trying to help you understand, and I'm always trying to learn, what does that mean to be a person after God's own heart? He will do everything I want him to do. And here's this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 49. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands. As the Philistine moved toward closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. Probably one of the most famous pictures in the Bible is this. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house. We come to worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. We come, Lord God, just to learn, to sit at your feet. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would touch our lives, that you would encourage us today, that you would inform us today and strengthen us today, enlighten us today, illuminate us today, give us revelation today. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would just make yourself known as you did so long ago today in our midst. May your Holy Spirit move in our presence as we gather here, Lord. We pray this now for the glory of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. It's good to see you this morning. And so, question for you. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and you just felt like maybe you woke up and you just weren't excited about the day? Maybe you wake up in the morning and you go, ah, geez, here it is, right? Maybe there's something happening in your life personally or nationally, and you just woke up in the morning and you just kind of sat there and said, you know, Lord, there are times when I think that you're just asleep at your post, that you are not paying attention. God, have you looked around? Have you seen what's going on either in my life individually or collectively, maybe nationally or what have you, and you just sit there and you have to say, you know, God, good morning. You know, are you there? Are you watching? Are you seeing what's going on? Are you asleep? Are you just not paying attention? Have you ever thought about that? Raise your hand. You ever prayed a prayer like that? If you have, you're not alone. Psalm 69, 1 through 3 says this. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. You ever felt that way in your life? I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. It's like you're drowning. You ever felt that way? I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. Have you ever had that happen to you? My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Has that ever been you? Is that okay to pray a prayer like that? Do you know who prayed that prayer? King David, a man after God's own heart, prayed those words in his journaling, in his prayers to God. King David, a man after God's own heart. King David, the giant slayer, later on in his life, prayed that prayer. King David, an incredibly interesting person in the pages of your Bible. The most mentioned Old Testament character in the New Testament. King David. Jerusalem is called the city of David. Bethlehem is called the town of David. All the ancestors that David has after his life is called the house of David. Jesus himself is called the son of David. Because they know that from the line of David comes Messiah, of who Jesus is. Read Matthew chapter 1, that really boring like genealogy of Jesus. You know, you ever tell somebody to read the New Testament? Happened to me. So I grab the New Testament, I read, I'm like, it's the genealogy of Jesus. But it's important because the Messiah comes from the line of David. During the Holocaust, what did the Jewish people have to wear? The Star of David. David, an incredibly influential person in the pages of Scripture. David, known as a shepherd's boy, a warrior, a musician, a poet, a statesman. In all of your Bible, there is only one person who God says, this is a person after my own heart, and it's King David, which is an incredibly... Is there a greater compliment being made from heaven toward earth? A man after my own heart. And we've been talking about King David and really try and help you. Like when the Bible speaks of the heart, inside of you, there is a non-material part of you called the heart, according to the Bible. And inside of you, your heart is the place where you think and will and feel. In your heart, when your heart is the place where you process things, where you love, it's where you learn and think, and it's where you choose to do and live your life. Your heart is the mission control center of who you are. It is the essence of who you are. And because of that, that's why the Bible says God always looks at the heart to know who people are. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, because God's wants to know who you are. The billion-dollar question is who are you? Who are you? God sees your heart. Isn't that beautiful? So if you want to be a person after God's own heart, the best person to learn from is a young shepherd boy from Bethlehem named David. And that's why we've been studying his life and why we're going to do it. And the purpose is for you just to know who he is. And so that bumper is just, it's beautiful because it tells his whole story. And this morning we're going to unpack an amazing chapter in David's life. So just for some review, 3,000 years ago, God's people are out of Egypt. Moses has come and gone. They're in the promised land. God is judging them or leading them through judges. And at one point, God's people says, we don't want a judge anymore. Everybody around us has a king, and we want one of those. And so God says, okay. And basically, he sees it as a rejection that he's their leader. But we don't want you as... We want some king to lead us. And so God yields to them and says, okay. And so they pick a guy who's tall, dark, and handsome. His name's Saul. He's the first king of Israel. He's the people's choice. He's the tallest dude in Israel. And he's good looking. And he matches well. He looks good. The problem is he stinks. And God just, after a while, just says, I'm done with you. And so God says, I'm not doing this anymore with you. And you guys have had your choice, now it's my turn. And so it says that God begins looking throughout the land of Israel for somebody who has a heart after God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" That's good. That's good. 2 Chronicles says, and I love this, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that God might strongly support those whose hearts are His." That's amazing to think that today the eyes of the Lord is moving. Do you know that the eyes of the Lord are upon this place this morning? And I hate to tell this to you, but it's God sees your heart. You can't hide from Him. You can't fake Him out. God sees your heart. And it's the best thing is just to lay it bare. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that God might support those whose hearts are His. So God sees this little shepherd boy in Bethlehem. David caught God's attention. Wow, look at this kid. He's maybe 10 to 12 years of age. God says, ah, there's one. He's humble. He's hardworking. He has a servant's heart. He's faithful. He's courageous. He's authentically spiritual. He's the real deal. But he's just a little kid, 10 to 12 years of age. But I love this. God noticed David when nobody else noticed David. Not even his dad. And we talked about this last week. You know, when it's like, "Do you got any other kids?" He goes, "Yeah, I got one more. He's out there. He's my youngest. Go get him." That's God's choice. So David comes in. Samuel the prophet's in his house. "David, get in here. You won't believe who's here. It's Samuel." Really comes running in. There is the prophet in all Israel in his living room. And Samuel says, "Get down." And he kneels. And Samuel whips out like big money and anoints him with anointing oil and anoints this little 10 to 12 year old kid, the king of Israel. He anoints him with oil. And all his brothers are watching this. His mom and dad are watching this. David's like dripping with this special oil. And then Samuel leaves. David wipes the oil off his hair. And do you guys know what happened after that? Nothing. Except incredible dinner conversations. Man, that was wild. What was that? I have no idea. The next day, David went back out into the shepherd field. "Get out there and do your job." I don't know what that was. Do you know what that was? I don't know what that was either. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Until war breaks out between Israel and the Philistines. And Saul's army assembles for battle and calls the army together. And three of David's brothers are enlisted in the army. And they're off. And he's gone. His brother's gone for at least a month. And after a while, David's dad is like, "Hey, David, I want you to go out to wherever the battle is and bring some food for your brothers and come back and tell us what's going on because the family's worried sick." That's logical, right? That's good. Makes sense. And here you go. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. "Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed." Dad had directed. "He reached the camp as the army was going out into battle positions, shouting the war cry." Can you imagine him pulling up going, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to see a battle. He's been gone a month and the battle's now." I mean, you can imagine David coming and it's like they're not in camps. They're lining up. These two armies are coming together, right? "As he reached the camp, as the army was going out to battle positions, shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines' army were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were." Can you imagine? Dude, this is not a good time, right? as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. So all of a sudden, a giant. You guys, can you picture a giant? What does a giant look like? Right, right. I mean, what is a giant? Has anyone seen The Princess Bride? Okay, so there is a really famous person in our culture. His name is called Andre the Giant. Here's a picture of him. Okay, so if you ever saw Princess Bride, and maybe this would be something good for you possibly to see. Maybe you just need to not watch the news. Maybe you just need to just laugh for a while and go watch Princess Bride. Great, great movie. Here's another picture of him. So Andre the Giant, and just kind of leave that one up as I talk about him, okay? So this guy is really interesting. He's 7'4". How much do you think he weighs? 520. So he was diagnosed with a disorder, and the pituitary gland stuck to his, like, It's called acromegaly. It's a disorder caused by a benign tumor on the pituitary gland producing too much growth hormone. Okay? So this guy just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And growing, and growing, and growing, and he became, like, it's fun if you guys are into wrestling, he was like the dude. So he's called Andre the Giant, and clearly when they wanted to make a movie, and Princess Bride, they hired the guy, and you could see him. He's a giant. Can you picture somebody like that dressed in war battle, armor, helmet, sword, shield, staff. He even has an armor bearer that walks with him to hand him his weapons. Okay, so here you are. You're lined up for battle. Your enemies are lined up for battle. And this guy comes out. And he comes out and he starts screaming at the Israeli army, cursing them, mocking them and their God, and saying, come out. Let's not have these two armies go at it with each other. It's called representative battle. It was something that was pretty common in the ancient days. If you read Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey with Achilles and Hector, it was called a representative battle. Let's not have a lot of blood today. Why don't I come out? I'm the best champion of our camp. Why don't you bring out your warrior and let us fight? And whoever wins, wins. And if I beat your champion, then you guys are our slave. And if you guys beat me, we'll be yours. Logical, right? Anybody want to fight that guy? Happened on day one. For 40 days, we read in the scriptures. Every day they lined up for battle. And every day this guy showed up and was taunting. And this is where he made his mistake. He was taunting the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. He's mocking the God who parts the Red Sea. On the 41st day, somebody showed up at the battlefield that hadn't been there. A 10 to 12 year old kid named David. And this was the first time he's heard this, okay? And listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David shows up in mid-morning, talking with his brothers, and all of a sudden he hears this cry from across the ravine. And David looks out across this battlefield and sees this mass of this human being. encased in armor, shouting out threats, cursing the God of Israel. And how does it make David feel? He's livid. No one talks about our God that way. His intuition in seeing the big picture of what was going on in the valley is a tribute to how he was raised and who taught him the scriptures. Whoever that was. And just FYI, God bless the children's ministry here and the youth ministry here. Because right now, they are telling your kids about the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. Telling these little ones about God and who God is and what God is. And they need to hear it. They need to know who God is. God bless whoever it was that informed David, because as David looked out into that ravine, he knew who God was. Well, who taught that to him? Somebody did. He knew. It's an honor, man. Train up your children in the ways of the Lord, right? David seemed to get the big picture of what was happening in that valley. He saw a giant, and yet he didn't see the giant. He just saw that this was a bigger battle that was about to unfold. So if you want to, and so here's the deal. If you want to be a man after God's own heart, if you want to learn what a person looks like after God's own heart, then learn from King David. And just to add to the list of last week, here's something that we're already learning about what a person after God's own heart is like. Write this down. And here's your notes for you this morning. And you can take these notes and think them, you know, talk about them in growth groups and talk about them with your family afterwards. I mean, unpack this, right? Write this down. This is David. David just doesn't see the physical realm, but he sees the spiritual realm. That somebody that's a person after God's own heart is able to see the big picture. They just have a heart for God that helps them to see higher altitude than just what's going on. And this is who King David is. Is that you? When you see what's going on in the world, are you able to look at it through a different set of lenses? Because David was able to do this. He sees the giant, but he's not impressed with the giant. He's not intimidated with the giant, because as David looks out at that battlefield, he sees that God is bigger than that giant. God is more powerful than that giant. My God parts the Red Sea. That's bigger than that. People that are after God's own heart are people that know God's ways. And they know God's thinking because they've spent time with the Lord in the scriptures. And they meet and they know who God is and what's God about. And from that, they can begin to see the world differently. They have an ability to see the bigger picture. To look out there and say, I wonder what God thinks about him. Not what we think about him. Remember, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. To somehow look at a circumstance and after a while digesting it, saying, I wonder what God thinks about that. Here's note number two. Write this down. David doesn't see a giant. He sees a man taunting God. When you can get to this place in your life, it's a very special place. When you can get to this place in your life, when you can begin to see the world and what's happening in circumstances, not just from this point of view, but to get it from God's perspective, you've reached a very special place. And the people that get to this place are people that are learning and they're getting a heart. They're beginning to understand what God loves and what God hates and what God's about. A person that can get to this is a person, they're in a very special place. And David's at that place. And it's so sad because of all the people that were there that day, there's only one person that was seeing it this way. That kid. That's sad. I love this next part. So can you guys, are you there? Are you seeing it? Can you picture it in your mind as this is all being drawn up? It's so this is so good. Because as David's seeing this, and he's like, what? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 20 through 30. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked, why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Now the next verse is beautiful. Now what have I done? Okay, big brother, little brother. Now what have I done? There is so much history to that that we'll never know. You guys, I'm very nosy if I'm driving in your car, especially if you're getting gas or something. And I'll just open your glove box and look in it because that's what I do. So I had a good buddy of mine. He was getting gas with my glove box and there was a letter. And the letter said, honey, I'm so sorry. I wish I could be there with you. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, dude, what's this? He says, that's for my wife, Frank. He says, my wife has a problem hitting people with cars. And we're almost ready to lose our insurance. I love her dearly, but she stinks as a driver. He's straight up. He says, so when the next time she gets in a car accident and she opens the glove box, I wrote a letter for her. There's history to that letter. Do you get it? There's history to it. It was just a letter, but there's a lot that went into him writing that. David goes, now what have I done? There's just so much history in that, and we don't know, but there was a lot of fun dynamics happening in David's house, right? When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. And David says, now what have I done? Can't I even speak? He then turned away. Write that, dude, in your underline, he then turned away. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. He turns away. In the midst of this huge story, I just love this. It's a part of it. And here's note number three. You should write this down. David knew where the battle is and isn't. He knew where the battle was. Can't you see him just going, could you see David just going off on his brother and they get in a big fight and that's all we read? David, a man after God's own heart, somehow knows where the battle lies and where the battle doesn't lie. Do you know that? Since Charlie Kirk was killed last week, there's been a lot of emotion in the internet, have you noticed? And social media. A lot of things are being said. A lot about who he is. A lot of things being said, even from people who claim Jesus and then say they're glad he's dead. There's so much out there, okay? There's so much out there. Do you respond? Should you? That's between you and the Holy Spirit, if you know who this person is. There's something about a man after God's own heart, a person after God's own heart, that has a discerning spirit to know what you should fight about and what you shouldn't. Maybe it's just best to keep silent or not. For David, in that valley of Elah, 3,000 years ago, when he heard this, saw this, and his brother is trying to pick a fight with him, he knew, I'm not going there. My fight is not with you. God's fight is down there. That's the problem, not this. That's beautiful, people. Learn this from David. He's just so cool. He knows where the battle is and isn't. He's not going to get distracted. Billy Graham said that the good is the eternal enemy of the best. As soon as he said it, I went, what? Would you say it again? The good is the eternal enemy of the best. I wrote it down. You should probably too. You got to know what the best is. And what's the most important? David did that as a 10 to 12 year old kid. He wasn't going to get distracted. He wasn't going to get drawn into a fight with his family. He's not going to do it. People that God chooses to use are people that have this discerning spirit. But how do they get that? Because they've spent time with God and God's spirit. They know where it is and what it's not. So all this is going on, okay? Are you there? It's been 40 days, and somebody comes up to the king of Israel, his name's Saul, and they say, there's somebody in the camp who's fired up and ready to fight Goliath. And Saul says, bring him in. And in walks this young teenager. Do you think Saul was excited to see this kid walk in his tent? Bring in our champion. The Lord has put it. Bring in our champion. Ah, stink. Really? 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 First Samuel chapter 17, 31 through 37. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go down and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. I'm unimpressed. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from his mouth. Okay, that's interesting. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both bear and lion, both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he's defied the armies of the living God. Look at this kid's heart. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. That's beautiful. Where does David get his courage? He learned it alone as he's walking with God. He's walked with God for a long time. He's seen, little David, seen God work in his life. And he remembers every time God's working in his life. He's been killing lions and bears when nobody else was around. And this is a really cool young man. And here's a note for you, another one to take notes this morning. Write this one down. David's courage is rooted in remembering God's faithfulness in the past battles. David's courage is rooted in remembering God's faithfulness in his past battles. And as he's showing up at that valley, he's not showing up with a blank piece of paper. He's seen the Lord at work in his life, and he's bringing all that into this. He's a man after God's own heart, and he purposely carries with him the memories of how God has worked in his life. Do you do that? Do you do that? See, David is just like you in this room. He's a human being just like you. But he has the ability to focus his heart to remember God. Especially when the days are challenging. He has that ability to put his thoughts on God. He has the ability to just open his files of his life and go, I remember God when he did this, and God when he did this, and God when he did this. In the midst of this, I can remember the goodness of God. Do you guys remember the lions and the bears in your life, in your faith journey with Jesus? Have you even written those down? Do you recognize and see your battle that brings you to today and your own spiritual journey of meeting and knowing and following Christ? And as you're doing that, you see God just doing such powerful things. Have you written these things down? Do you remember your lions and your bears? Because I do, and it helps me to keep going, especially in those days when it's dark. especially in those days when I don't know if I have any more prayers to give because I just think you're really not doing very good today, Lord. I don't know if you've noticed, but it looks like you're losing. Jesus, I know you rose from the dead, but it looks like you're losing. Are you watching what's happening? This is normal. In days like that, you sit there and say, and you bring out faith, the shield of faith, and you start remembering who God is, because it's emotional. And I want to just have reason to come alongside that and think this through. In the midst of all that, we have to have the ability of saying, you're still good, you're still God. David does this. He has this. God chooses people that have the ability not to forget. Do you remember your defeats and forget your victories with the Lord? Or do you remember your victories that the Lord had with you and forget your defeats? When you have a bad day, you should learn and grow and let it go. But there are so many people that just remember their defeats and they forget the good things that God has done in their life. It's a battle for the mind. Are you a person that remembers God's victories and you forget the defeats? Or are you one that just dwells on all the defeats? And when God does something, you just forget about it. Because David's the one that just remembers whose God is. This is a person after God's own heart. This is who my God is. This is awesome. It's powerful. So, and let me just read this, because we're talking about David slinging that rock. That was such a good in our bumper. It's like it slowed it down as it was coming, right? 1 Samuel 17. I wish the whole Bible was just one big victory like this all the time. Then he took his staff in his hand, verses 40 through 51, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So now you've got 2 armies, and out comes this kid. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him, so there's 2-on-1, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health. He's handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "In the name of my gods, I curse you. Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Did David get scared? Would you? David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. My God's bigger than you, dude. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." So they're talking trash as they're coming at each other. "And I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." And the Philistine moved closer to attack him. And David ran quickly toward him. What the stink's wrong with this kid? He's picking up speed. He's heading toward it. David begins running quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out his stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. And everybody went, "No way," on both sides. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine. He killed him. David ran and stood over him. And he took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath. And he killed him, and he cut off his head with his own sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they took off. You know what's so cool? I actually have the very stone that David slung. In 1996, when I was in Israel, I went to the Valley of Elah. And you go and you can see on one side there's this hill, and there on the other side there's this like hill ravine. In the middle there's a creek, and you can go to the creek. And if you look right here, you can see that indentation. That's where David, this is where it hit Goliath right there, that one. This is probably the most valuable thing in the church today. This is huge. By the way, if you'd like to go walk in the land of Jesus with me, I'm leading a group next March. Sad, the tour agent guy, because after we teach on this, and then everybody goes, you guys want to go get a rock? And everybody in our bus, and the bus before that, and the bus before that, and the bus before that, and the bus before that. And, you know, the guy says, you know, when you guys aren't here, we bring in rocks, because you guys keep taking them out. But this one's the real one. The most famous battle described in the Old Testament wasn't fought between two armies, but between two people. Between David and a giant named Goliath. See, here's the big picture. God wanted Goliath put down. And God was looking for someone to join him in doing this. And for 40 days, the people's choice, King Saul, stood there and did nothing. And it was his job to take him down. He was the tallest and the biggest of Israel. But he's a coward. More concerned about himself. And for 40 days he sat there as a coward. Terrible leader. Terrible leader. God wanted that guy put down. And he was just waiting for someone to join him in what he wanted to do. See, Saul doesn't see from the eyes of heaven. Because he's not a man after God's own heart. And then a person came that had taken the time to know God and know God's heart and God's plans and what God likes and what God hates. And this, on the 41st day, someone showed up there and saw the battle from God's perspective and didn't get distracted, drew courage from how God has worked in his past, and knew that this was God's fight. And he says, here am I, God. And here's a note for you this morning. Last note. Note number 5. David knew that this fight wasn't about him, but about who? God. This fight is not about me. This is not about David and Goliath. Who is the hero of the story? God is. Not David is just someone joining God in what God is doing. The hero of the story is God. God was just waiting for someone to join him in what he wanted to do. Without God, David's toast. He would have been cut to pieces, and everyone would have looked at him and said, what a stupid kid. Right? But with God, David's a giant killer. This is a beautiful, I'm so glad we're teaching on this today, especially in the midst of what's happening in our world. Hey guys, has God ever lost a battle? Sometimes I think we think so. Sometimes it looks like he's losing. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, the world's a mess. It's violent, it's dark, it's lost. It embraces lies like no other. It embraces darkness like no other. And our world is getting to a place where they call evil good and good evil. Has God ever lost a battle? I want you to know this morning as we talk about this, it looks like there's times when God's losing a battle. For 40 days at the Valley of Elah, it looked like God was just not at his post. But on the 41st day, you just wait for the Lord. God knows what he's doing. On Good Friday, all the disciples thought Jesus just lost. we'll just wait till Sunday. God's got bigger things in store. You guys, the Lord is the Lord. When a man or a woman of God fails, nothing of God fails. When a man or a woman of God dies, nothing of God dies. When a man or a woman of God changes, nothing of God changes. When our lives are altered by the unexpected, nothing of God is altered. He's the same. God is still here. That's God. And this calls us to trust Him. So little David, you know, this is the day that his life changes, and we'll talk about that next week. This moment in David's life, he never goes back to being a shepherd of sheep ever again in Bethlehem. This is the day his life changes. His faith and God moving in his life, he'll never go back. And you know what's, you know, so cool about this, you guys? And I just want to kind of close with this. Years later, when David was king, the full king of Israel, David was a prophet, and he would write a lot of prophetic psalms. And God had King David write Psalm 2. It's a prophetic psalm. It's a messianic psalm. It speaks of the kings of the earth gathering for battle against God's son, the Messiah. And it says that God looks down and sees what's happening, and he laughs because it's men coming to fight against its creator in the Valley of Armageddon. You can study all this in Mike's class. See, God someday is going to send his son to earth again. He came for the first time as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he's coming a second time to fulfill all the messianic prophecies as he restores the throne of David. Psalm chapter 2. King David wrote this as the Holy Spirit came upon him as he began speaking a prophetic utterance of future things to happen. Psalm 2, chapter 2, verses 7 through 12 says this, "And I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son.'" God the Father has a son. Does anyone know his name? Jesus, written 1,000 years before Christ is born, the triunity of the Godhead. "Surely I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like a pottery." Okay? Now therefore, this is who the Son of God is. And we all should know of who Christ is. And you people, it's good to have a holy fear of Christ. "Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do not do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in the Son of God." King David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus was born. I want you to know this morning that God doesn't lose a battle. He's not losing today. He's at his post. He is God. He's here. He's real. You should recognize Him and worship Him, and don't get Him angry. Someday we're all going to stand before Jesus. He'll either is going to be your judge or your savior, but you're going to stand before Him. Worship Him. Honor Him. Know Him. Follow Him. Love Him. Be King David, a man after God's own heart. He's coming. He'll deal with everybody. And when He deals with people, He deals with their heart. He judges their heart. When God sees your heart, what does He see? Know the Lord. Follow the Lord. We're going to be doing baptisms here shortly. Right after this, right after here, Pastor Graham's doing a baptism class. It's so important for a follower of Jesus to be baptized. It's a part of saying, I'm in. You guys, Jesus is not to be messed with. And the world that we're living in is a mess. I get it. He's coming back. He's real. He's here. You're all going to stand before Him. You're all going to be in His presence one day. And you need to be prepared for that because it's coming. It's coming. He's come and He's coming again. Amen? Does this encourage you this morning? This is your God. He's the God who parts the Red Sea. He's the God that slays giants. And this God loves you. When you read Isaiah 40, it says that He's the good shepherd and He holds you close to His chest. Do you realize how precious and special you are to the eyes of the Almighty? Why would you push away Jesus Christ? Foolish. Why? Surrender and give Him your heart. Give Him your love. You people, the Lord is here. The Lord is real. The Lord is awesome. Father, we just commit to You this day. Lord, all of us in here have a lot of feelings and thoughts and emotions as we've been seeing things transpire across this land, across the world. Lord, there are so many times when we just look at the world and say, Lord, do You realize what's going on? And I know, God, You look down and say, I know exactly what's going on. I just need You to trust me. Lord, we're just like Your disciples 2,000 years ago. We just need to trust You. And know that You are here and know that You are real and know that You have got this. Lord, we just pray, God, and ask, Lord, that You encourage us today, strengthen us today, touch us today. We ask for Your blessing upon our lives today. We pray, Lord, that You would make Yourself known today. We ask, Jesus, that You would do this now for the glory of the kingdom of Christ. Right? And all those who love the Lord their God with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength, what do you say? Amen?